Lord willing, we're in the third chapter here this evening. And again, this is Paul's sweet letter to the Jewish Christians. Again, having such a love for them and a compassion for his kinsmen. Yes, he was the minister to the Gentiles, but God didn't leave anyone out. And as I've been reading this, and I got to share this with my mom today, it is just amazing. I'm just so thankful that the Lord has given me so much more time to be with him. And the things that he just continues to reveal in your life. I don't have words to express it, but I thank him for it and I thank you for your prayers. But in this third chapter, and we'll read through the full third chapter. But again, last week, we won't read there again tonight, but Numbers 13, for those who missed last week or weren't able to be with us last week, it's such a wonderful chapter, I believe, that will bring in, it's Numbers 13, and really just read the full chapter there, because that's at Kadesh Barnea when they sent out the spies. And this is the wonderful example of really what this is and what this third chapter is talking about, so that there wouldn't be any confusion to you that this is truly about growing in grace. This is not about losing your salvation. This is something, again, as I just see so vividly in my heart, is as our pastor went to be with our wonderful Lord, that path, that aisle, every time I come up here and look at it, it's there it is, son. And the promised land is right there at the window. And it's just that far. So I've gotten, and I'm thankful because these pews are starting to get out of the way. I'm getting less pews every time I get up here to get to that window. Thank the Lord. But it's so true. He's given us that vision. He's given us that message. And this is for us. This is our wonderful inheritance to be able to walk through that land. And this is what this is about. And by the grace of God, we'll get into that this evening. But we'll read the full third chapter. And then get back into the study. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who is faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses. Obviously, Jesus is. He was better than the angels sent to die, and better than Moses as well, too. Again, how he had to remind them. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. Let that speak to you even about Peter, how we've been talking about that. Upon this rock, obviously a play on words, and that is the rock is Christ, of which everything is built on. Hallelujah. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. And this is where we're going to pick up, Lord willing, tonight is the sixth verse. But Christ is a son over his own house, whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness when your fathers tempted me. Proved me and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end, while it is said today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Such a precious passage of Scripture. But again, this sixth chapter, the sixth verse of the third chapter is what we'll pick up tonight. And again, the Lord has so shown me with this is that this sixth verse on so magnifies the second chapter, verses 1 through 3, where we're encouraged not to let things slip, not to neglect so great a salvation. Again, as Brother Copley so eloquently said in his very short paragraph on chapter 3, this is not a reference to salvation, but growth in grace. And this is what this is all about. Hallelujah. But that sixth verse, we'll start there. But Christ is a son over his own house. Whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope or faith firm unto the end? So again, whose house are we? Who is he talking to? Again, so important, especially through this passage, as we'll bring out again tonight. These are saved Hebrews. And we're going to see what a vision these Hebrews saw. If you go through this book of Hebrews, I'm telling you, there's bridal truth all through this. These people had an enlightenment that he's talking to here, and obviously with us. Obviously, there's an encouragement, but we'll see some of the things that Paul brings out. But again, this is about, in the sixth verse, Christ dwelling in us. Are we going to allow him to dwell in us, to grow us up into all things in him, to be the mature, wonderful Shulamite woman that he, by the grace of God, is growing the children into the mature ones that will someday rule and reign with him? So in that verse there, it says, hold fast the hope of faith. And I love that because it sure sounds a lot like, hold fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Revelation 3:11. That's where we're starting out here. We understand that it is by grace, that salvation is a gift, that God gave his son, that all we had to do is believe. But yet nothing will separate us from the love of God. We know that that is a contract, commitment, whatever we want to call it, that cannot be broken once we are his child. Once we are in his hand and the Father's hand is over that, nothing can take us out of that hand. Hallelujah. So again, as we have talked about many times in Revelation 3, we know that that crown that's being held by the grace of God is the vision, is by the grace of God, the faith that we have that he has given us, like Sister and I were talking about here, to believe. Unbelief will cause us to fall short of the inheritance. He's given us the grace. He's given us the faith by grace. Believe. Isn't that amazing? Believe. Hallelujah. So easy. But again, this is about the bride. This is about the reward, not salvation. This is about the mature Christian who is counted faithful. Again, looking at this, in the natural, if there's a house, for the most part, I mean, I know some are rentals and different things, but for the most part, whose house is it? The people that live in it. Is that simple enough, the sixth verse? Did it explain itself? Does Christ live in you? That's what he's encouraging us to step into. Whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope? What this is saying is that you can be saved and not allowing a Christ to live or dwell in your home, in your life. Most Christians don't allow Christ to dwell in their life, unfortunately. But again, by grace, when we yield, Christ dwells in us. The fruit is produced. That's where this portion of Scripture just begins with. Are we going to allow our vessel to be yielding to him? Are we a pleasing vessel to him? Is he the one that's filling our life? Hallelujah. Are we loving his appearing? Are we looking for him? Verse 7 and 8. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness. This is when the day when God's children like us today, and again, Numbers 13 will really bring this out, were right there in front of the promised land. Again, the example. They were right there. All they had to do was enter in. All they had to do was possess the promise that God had given them. But it was a choice. And by the grace of God, some went in, but not all went in. But they were still his people. We'll talk about some that died as carcasses that really hardened unto damnation. But there were many that did not go in. There was a Moses that didn't go in. There was an Aaron that didn't go in. And the example of that, I believe Moses got his full inheritance. Don't get me wrong. But in this example, in this type, because of unbelief, they didn't enter into God's full promise. And that's most of Christianity today. It's going without the camp, isn't it? I got a letter from someone. Said that we should all join up with everyone and try to go on together. Because we need one another. Yes, we do need one another. But you know, when you go with the Lord, you go alone. I so appreciate our pastor saying that. You know, it's wonderful to have that envisionment, you know, you and your wife, and here we go, and all that. No, you walk with God alone. And if your partner walks with God alone, you'll walk together, won't you? Hallelujah. Your family, your children, everything is harmony in Christ. And that's so precious to know that, you know, what hope we have. Hallelujah. What a beautiful family we can have by the grace of God. We don't need things. We don't need all of those types of, we don't need material stuff. We just need Jesus. Sometimes I know when my kids get a little too much material stuff, it gets out of whack. I'm so thankful when we can just focus on the Lord. It's such a precious, precious thing. But they hardened their hearts. And why did they harden their hearts here in the 8th verse? Because of unbelief. The sin that so easily besets us. That's Hebrews. Let's turn to Hebrews 12 verse 1. So wonderful here. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness. Remember what I was saying about what these Hebrews were being invited into. These Christians were being invited into. This is talking about, again, the children in the wilderness. They had the cloud. Okay, so this is, again, referring to them, but us, unto us as well either. For 40 years they had this. It said, they were compassed about with such a great cloud of witness. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so doth so easily beset us. And that's unbelief. But look what it says there. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The Lord's got to constrain me right now because I'm just getting a little too excited, as you can probably tell. But I am so thankful. It is so wonderful. Do you see how this is bringing the neglect and the slip and all of these things? And as by the grace of God, as we go through here this evening, He's not the author of confusion. There's no chaos in Him. There's simplicity that's in this gospel. I look at the different writings of the different ones. I am so thankful for what we see. I am so thankful that He has caused us to be a people that believe. Isn't that precious? When you believe, He'll let you see. When you try to get steadfast in your own, you're not going to see. So, but they had ears and they heard not. They had no vision. They murmured against God. They didn't listen against God. And they don't enter in because of unbelief. Moses knew his ways. They only knew his acts. They only were just watching. They were sidelined, whatever it was. Get to know the Lord. How do you get to know the Lord? You got to get in by the grace of God to the Word. You got to get into the Word. It just fulfills everything to you. The faith that He'll give you. And again, a gift. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But hardening is unbelief. It's neglect. It's letting things slip, as the children in the wilderness. But hardening can go further than that. We'll read about these, and I'd like to just talk about this hardening. In 2 Timothy 3:8, you have Jannes and Jambres, who... Well, let's just turn there. 2 Timothy 3:8. And there must have been something. It's something to be mentioned like this. You would never want to be mentioned like this. But it says, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also. Look what they did. They resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. They're distorted. They're evil. They had these at this time. Those were the carcasses that we're going to read about as well, too. So that, and it can go on into that hardening. It's a form of godliness. It denies the power. It withstood Moses, who is God's servant. The same hardening, and I'll just let you write this verse down in Exodus 7, 11 through 13. The same hardening as Pharaoh had. And he had it again and again and again. And God allowed that hardening to happen. And that was hardening unto damnation. That's a complete resistance. That's at that point where you have rebuked the Holy Spirit from coming in and being able to witness to you about Jesus Christ. But this text is not all about that, because there were children that did not go in to the promise because of hardening, as Moses and Aaron. But a mere hardening of the heart misses God's best. It does. If we'll harden our heart to the things of God, to the truth, we'll miss His best. And I appreciate Brother Ray bringing out what Brother Hill said many, many times about the fallow ground. Okay? We see that in Jeremiah 4:3 and Hosea 10:12. Break up the fallow ground. Okay? The fallow ground is hard ground, as we know. Okay? In hard ground, what happens is the water just runs over it. It doesn't get in. What happens to the fruit? What happens to the life? It dies. It's wasted. Breaking up the ground, as you would break that up, as Ray was so sweet, is talking about that. As you break that up, as it becomes pliable, workable, then the water can get down, and it can get down deep. That's the water, that's the Spirit, that's the Word of God. Then it can work effectually in us. Then things can be produced out of our lives. But that's the hardening that it's speaking about here, in not being allowed the water to flow down in order to produce the fruit. Verse 10. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 16 through 18. This is Peter speaking. As also in all his epistles, this is speaking of Paul, speaking in them of these things, in which some things are hard to be understood, which they, or to them, these things are hard to be understood to them, that are unlearned and unstable, rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Look what he's falling from. Your own steadfastness. Your own self-righteousness. Your own thinking I'm going to merit something in myself with God. You're going to fall. It's not going to happen. You've hardened because it's not the truth. It's not the truth when you try to merit anything and don't recognize His Son. It's grace. And again, by the grace of God, we will hear that if the Lord tarry over and over again. And I pray it just sings to you. It should sing to us because it's a gift. It's not of me. And I'm so thankful for that. And I think if you really will get honest with yourself, you'll say the same thing. I'm sure you have. Hallelujah. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. We grow in grace. We know that. We've heard that. Let it sing to us. So them that are unlearned, that wrestle, they don't enter in. They don't know the ways of God as Moses did, because Moses knew God even face to face. He dwelt with Him. We need to be dwellers with the Lord. Verse 11. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. I want you to think about what we just said and turn the page to chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. And we rest, don't we? Isn't it precious how He gives us rest? Thank you, Jesus, we have rest. No matter what's going on, by the grace of God, we can rest. For he, and here's the key, that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works. And we had a wonderful example, as God did from his. See, God rested that seventh day. He knew it was good, it was finished, it was completed. Okay, now what did God do for us? It's his Son. He sent his Son for us. And I don't know anything more finished, more complete, more done. Believe. 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 Hallelujah. Just, again, so simple in Christ. But they didn't enter into this sweet rest, into the beloved's rest, because, again, of unbelief. They didn't believe steadfastly the whole word of God. Therefore, they could not enter into Canaan or his best. God rested. That was Genesis 2:2, what I just quoted there. When he finished, and God is still resting today. When he finished that, he rested. He knew it's his Son. It's his Son. It's done. And his Son died. He died. And he rose again. And he's just sitting there so patiently. And sometimes I see these things, and I'll share them with you a little bit just to think about. And I'm sure you think about the same one. Jesus is saying, can I go get him yet? Can I go get him yet? Oh, can I go get him yet? Thank you, thank you, thank you. He took our dear brother. But I think it's pretty near that there's going to be that body that's ready for him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We have rest when we believe. If we want the rest, the reward, the crown, we need to walk in the Spirit. Not to walk in ourselves, again, in his ability, in his enabling, in his confidence. Amen. The reward is to the spiritual. But yet they were still his people that didn't go into the rest, and they still went to heaven. But you need to go without the camp. Now think again of that chapter 4, 9 and 10, how we need to cease from our own works when we rest. This was one encouragement of a reading that I had with of Brother Copley's. 1 Corinthians 3, 11 through 15. That's 1 Corinthians 3. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. And it will be made manifest. There's lots of things going on there, are out there today in Christianity, and it will be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Again, the ones that didn't go in, that hardened, not into damnation, but didn't dwell in the word, didn't have the pliable heart. This is what they were building. Wood, hay, and stubble. And I think we talked about it last week. You can build great mounds of wood, hay, and stubble. You think of Christianity today in its popularity. It's large, isn't it? There's churches out there that have 30, 40, 50,000 people. And you know what? However Christ is preached, if Christ is preached, then we do rejoice. There are brothers and sisters in Christ, and we appreciate that. But there's a best. There's a better part. And the Lord is not after the wood, hay, and stubble. It's going to burn. Even as a Christian, when we're building wood, hay, and stubble in our lives, it's going to burn. It's worthless. He's looking for the precious stone. And you know what? It's found in these pews by the grace of God. In the meek, in the lowly, in the ones that just seek Him. It's a precious thing. Know who we are in Christ Jesus. Are they dead works or God's work? Verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Look what it said there. Take heed, brethren. Again, who is he speaking to? Brethren. It goes on to prove these are brothers. Brothers got to be saved. They do. Okay? Lord doesn't do this to me very often, but he really put it on my heart today to go search that word brother in the Greek. I wanted to get too schooly on you there. Brother Coppa said, I have such a hard time forgetting my education. I forgot mine a long time ago. He went to school longer than I did. I think he was even talking about some of the Bible schools, really, I believe, what he was talking about. The Lord will reveal through His Spirit what He wants you to know. He will. Right in your home, in the Word of God, the Holy Spirit's the best teacher you'll ever have. Best teacher you'll ever have. And you know what? Each one of us have Him. Isn't that awesome? You got the Master right there. Hallelujah. Think about that. But I looked up that word brethren in the Greek. And that word brethren in the Greek is the exact same word as in Hebrews 13:1, where it says, let brotherly love continue. And I thought, wow, how precious that is. He's telling these brothers to take heed, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing. Well, now that's starting to bring me back to where we started before. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. There's nothing confusing here. But you know what is even sweeter than that one? Do you know the word Philadelphia? I think we've heard that quite a bit, haven't we? That's the same word. Do you see what these people were being dealt with about? Do you see what they were being dealt with to step into? There was a lot of fighting going on. There was a lot of problems with these Hebrews and their Jewish compatriots that were trying to get them to go back into the law or just to even go back from anything. But Paul knew there was a calling to these people out of every kindred, tongue, and nation. The bride's going to come from. And I believe in my heart of hearts, this group of people, there were some that came out of this. And this is what he was dealing with these people. And this is what he's dealing with us by the grace of God. To see letting that brotherly love continue. Don't think that we've made anything yet. By grace, holding that fast, by grace, that He gives me the faith to hold that. That's steadfastly to the end. That's the love. You think about relationships between a man and a woman when you really see that they've loved one another throughout a lifetime. That's a beautiful thing. It's awesome. What a great example. I can't think of any greater natural love. Really can't. But that's what God and His Son can be to us in a way beyond our imagination. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So again, you don't depart from yielding and lose the inheritance. King Saul, 1 Samuel 16, verses 14 and 15. Let's turn over there. We have a little bit of time. 1 Samuel 16, verses 14 and 15. And it's not sounding like pitter-patter anymore. Okay, forget about your cars. All right. And it says here, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said unto him, behold, now an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. He lost the inheritance, didn't he? He did. He lost it. It was given to David. David's seed was the one that was given the throne forever. Remember how we read there at the 89th Psalm? this last week, Sunday, and how he just gave it to him. It's so precious. And what a contract that was. Forever. I don't care, even if you know what, even if your kids messed up, I'll still be faithful to you. And I'll still be faithful to them. Isn't that something? Hope my boys are listening. There, now he is. So, God is so faithful to us. But you think about Saul. And think of that as another example there. Saul, the Spirit of the Lord departed from him. His house, Jesus left the house. That's an awful thing to think of. But Jesus left the house. Okay? But Saul still went to heaven. Don't let people think, get you to thinking that Saul didn't. Oh, well, Saul took his own life and went to hell. No, the Witch of Endor, we remember that, said as Saul was there and they were trying to call up Samuel to do, and there Samuel appeared and everybody was, they were a little bit excited. As the kids say, they were freaking out. Because there was Samuel. And what did Samuel say? You and your son going to be with me tomorrow. Well, you know what? I'll tell you what. Of anybody I could think of, Samuel was in heaven. And he was in Upper Sheol at that time, and that was heaven for that time. Okay? So if Saul went to Upper Sheol, and I know that there was a chasm between Upper and Lower Sheol. No man could go across, no one could go back. So if Saul went there, he couldn't leave. And then I know this one named Jesus, he went and led captivity captive, and he took it right to heaven. Okay? So we know where Saul is, right? And he had an evil spirit on him. All right? And the Spirit of the Lord departed from him because he hardened his heart. Again, it's an example of the hardened heart. He didn't hold dear the Word of God. What else is there, guys? Really? Young people, middle, old, wherever. What else could we want to dwell in? You know, I'll share something with you. I was thinking in the office today, and I know it's been a short time, and I pray the Lord just encourage me. I always used to think, how can Brother Hill study that Bible all the time? All the time. You know, I got my hour, and you know, I'm praying a little bit. You ask my wife, I can't get out of it. I am so thankful that we can have that, to have the time. And if he gives you time, take advantage of it. It is so great. It is so wonderful what he does for us. Hallelujah. Okay. So Saul's in heaven. That's good. Verse 13. But exhort one another daily, why it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And this is the remedy for the evil heart, a departed brother. Exhort him daily. It's in Timothy there about reprove and exhort in doctrine. Right? In doctrine. Not in, oh, it's okay. No, in doctrine. That's your brother. Better are the wounds of a friend than the kisses of an enemy. It's so true. And I've said that to a few as of late. They didn't like it. But I said, I love you. And I know God had me talking to him at that time. I'm not going to kiss up on you as an enemy. I want to give you the Word of God. Here's what the Word says. Sometimes it can feel like it's harsh. It's harsh when you're not yielding, but there's love behind it. So that's what we need to, by the grace of God, see. But encouraging in the truth, Galatians 6:1, as we read the other day, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one. Restore him in the Lord. And it's today. Don't wait. No promise of tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. And again, this 13th verse, that hardened heart through the deceitfulness of sin, that's the slip. But if we can exhort to giving heed or attention to the things of God, because sin hardens a life, doesn't it? You see ones that sin has just so overcome their life. Ones that have been in sin for a long time, you can see it etched in their face. I mean, really etched in their face. Okay? Now, people that are yielding to the Lord, you got a beauty about you. Now, you may not think, or in a lot of cases, we're not real pretty. But we have beauty. We've got shine. We've got glory all over us because we're walking in Him. That's what I want to see. That's why it's so glorious, really, to see my brothers and sisters in Christ. It's a beautiful thing. There's a joy that we get from one another, isn't it? Hallelujah. But Christ needs a pliable heart to mold, something that's tender. If we hardened our heart, we won't enter in, and He won't enter in. The fellowship doesn't happen. If we harden, we won't possess. By grace, I want to walk all through the promised land. God's best by grace and a yielded heart. Verse 14. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Again, somebody might pull that out to you out of a verse. Go back and read it in context. Go back and know for yourself. Search these scriptures. Be the Berean saint so that you know what it's talking about. You know in your heart, well, I can't lose my salvation, but man, that one sounds pretty bad. Did I miss something? No. Go back and read the passage. Go back and know like what we're doing tonight. So we exhort to the reward of abiding faithful through grace, and we are made a partaker. Partaker means a companion or a fellow heir when we stay with the scriptures, when we grow in grace, when we rest in Him. Faith and grace from the very beginning with man was the same thing. Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. They were saved by grace back then. They had to have the faith by the grace of God back then, just like we do. And Jesus is the same confidence in Him that saved us. We need the same confidence in Him that saved us is the same confidence that we need for Him to grow us. And what is that confidence in? His faithfulness. It's His faithfulness, which is His grace. It's the same thing all the way through. It's just, again, growing up and being able to feed more on Him as we yield our lives. He adds strength to us, doesn't He? The Philadelphia church had a little strength, didn't it? Hallelujah. So that they could increase the fruit of their life, the fruit of the Spirit. But again, who failed to enter the promise? Who failed to enter Canaan? Those who failed to believe steadfastly the whole word of God. And that's a problem with a lot of Christians. Us, I'm talking about here too. We're Christians. We want to take bits and pieces of the word. We want to take what fits us. Right? Yep. We do. Okay? I'll get personal with people a little bit here too. You know, we talk about, I believe the Lord wants me to say this. It's on my heart. About living with somebody. Lord, don't want you doing that. It's not scriptural. Okay? I was talking to a young man today or yesterday with his wife. And she makes all the decisions. And she's strong hand. And he was telling about another one that didn't. I said, well, that's a shame. I said, the man should be the head of the household. In a loving hand. In one that loves her as Christ loved the church. Ladies, if you get loved like that, how could you? You'd have a winner, wouldn't you? Huh? Would you be submissive to that? You would be. Because He loves like that. That's how Christ loves us. See, when we realize how Christ loves us, we'll submit. And we submit more as we realize how much He loves us, isn't it? It's just a love relationship all the way through. As we see the promises and the treasure and what He wants to do in our life, we can't help but submit. That's true grace. Okay? I guess I'm meddling in some respects. But that's not me, it's the Lord. Don't pick and choose the things that God has here. If you allow this to work effectually in you, I'm not saying if you do this, you're going to get that. That's not the Lord. He says, let, believe, let it work in you. And you know what? You become this masterpiece. You become a masterpiece, Jesus. Thank you. Verse 15. While it is said today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Today is the day of salvation. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. Keep the faith by the grace of God for His best. But we're not losing salvation here. But we must hear and earnestly heed to hear. And faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. An open heart, dwelling with God. One little thing that I did read, and I don't know where I read this at, but it said perseverance in faith. And listen to this. Perseverance in faith, or a continuance in faith, is the best evidence of the level of sincerity of faith. How much time have you had in it? How long have you been committed by the grace of God to the Word? Okay? I think of the ones. I think of Sister McGuire. I think of Brother McLam. I think of Sister Robinson. I think of Brother Austin and all. And there's many, many more, my mother and all. Brother Hill. That's the testimony of faith. Those are the years of building the precious stone. There wasn't a lot of fanfare there. All those lives, there's not a lot of fanfare, guys. And you know what I don't see? I don't see a lot of wood, hay, and stubble in that stuff. Amen. I see the real deal. Yeah. That's what we're after. And they know those ones that I mentioned and the ones that I hadn't. The Lord knows you all. Yeah. I am glorifying God in those ones. Amen. Okay? Hallelujah. I'd like to finish this out. Lord willing, bear with me about 5 minutes. I think we can get through this. I feel that this needs to be finished. Verse 16. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. Some, obviously, who heard the voice, did provoke, but not all. Again, how did they provoke? By unbelief. And there's no pleasure in unbelief to the Lord. It's an insult. It's an insult to God. It is. The sin that so easily besets us is our unbelief. Again, it's just taking what He has promised, what He has given, what He is holding out for us. Yet some believe the report, and they believe the word and went in. But few will enter into God's best. It's a rib portion. There's not many. Not many wise, not many mighty that really seek the kingdom of God. Adam was a full body, and that rib portion was taken out. Hallelujah. Closest to the heart. We've heard all of those things. Great faith. As you read back there in Numbers, it took great faith for those spies that went in, just the two that saw, to not be looking at them giants. It takes great faith to believe the bride of Christ. It does. It takes great faith. If you don't have a lot of faith, you're not going to see this. You got to have the Word of God in your life because that's how you get faith. Okay? You got to understand the grace of God and allow it to work effectually in you, or you're not going to be able to be a Philadelphia saint. That is a requirement of the brotherly love to be in the bride of Christ. It's just not going to happen. I have to have great faith not to look at the obstacles, to look at Christ. Not to look at the situations, just as Peter was out there. What a wonderful example that was. There were all them waves bouncing around and all that. He was looking at Jesus. He was walking on that water. Imagine walking on water. Every time I get on the water, I think, oh, that'd be so neat to walk. It ain't happening. Lord ain't going to let me do that right now. But the eyes were on Him. But you noticed again, when He took them off, He sunk. But when He put them on Him, what a great miracle. That's us. What's the greatest miracle that could ever be than being in the bride of Christ? And I've got to have a vision or I'm going to perish. That vision's got to be on Him. That He's going to fulfill it all in my life. Such a beautiful pattern that Christ is working in us, isn't it? Praise God. Hallelujah. Verse 17. But with whom was He grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? Yeah. These are those which hardened unto damnation. They continued in sin. They never believed. They shut up their heart to the Lord, which shuts the heart of God, which shuts heaven, which lays them under the curse of sin, the wrath of God. There's a hell. And when you shut it out, and when you shut God out of it, you have hell. Share with you just a quick note. I was thinking again today. I had two grandpas. I had Brother Hill, and I had another Grandpa Dorsey. And I never got to meet my Grandpa Dorsey. He died before I was born. Well, we all know about Brother Hill's homegoing. We've heard it. We share it. By the grace of God, we're going to share it for eternity. Such a precious thing. Awesome. Christ in the room. Those 14 almost left with him. They did, just about. Last words of my Grandpa Dorcio. I'm sinking in hot mud. I'm sinking in hot mud. Never accepted the Lord. Only one of the only times I ever heard my dad tell that he cried and cried and wept and wept and wept. There is a hell to those that harden their heart. There is. Let us have compassion. Let us allow the Lord to use us. I'm thankful. I have more boldness. Not because there's a title or anything like that, just because the love of God. And I was thankful we could go in there and that young man that was sitting there, however it came out, I seized that opportunity in love and as the Spirit gives you intercession. Remember, Paul walked by some places too. So don't, if it's of you, it's going to fall flat, isn't it? Hallelujah. I've been there and done that before. Almost couldn't even quote John 3:16 at a certain time. Okay. Verse 18 and 19, we'll wrap it up with this. And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. What a defeat in unbelief. For the unsaved, it's eternal damnation. For the Christian, when you leave grace, when you go in your own steadfastness, when you don't rest from your works, as we read, and by the grace of God, we'll read again in chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. If I don't rest from my own works, there's no rest for me. I got to get away from that. If I'll rest in Him, He will take me on. He'll put me on those wings. He'll take me to the heights I've never, ever known. But if we have the stunted growth, we miss the ultimate promise. We miss entering into the bride of Christ. The oneness with Christ. And it's grace that He gives us the faith. That He gives us the ability to believe. Believe, believe, believe. It's amazing where it will take us. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You again tonight. We thank You for being here. We thank You that You're real. We thank You what You're showing us. We just ask again, let it work effectually in us, Lord Jesus. Thank You for being the focus of this place and the focus of our lives. Thank You, thank You, thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.